الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين. وقال الله تعالى: هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. Allah Most High says in His book in Surah At-Tawbah that He is the one, Jalla wa Ala, He is the one who sent His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with guidance and with the way of truth so that it can be manifest over all other ways. The idhar is what? So that it can be manifest, not just manifest in the sense that everyone can see it, but manifest in the sense that everyone can see its superiority over all other ways. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. Many people have trouble dealing with Islam in the sense that Islam is not like other religions. For those of you who remember Sesame Street, three of these things belong together, one of these things do not. Same, 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 different. Islam is going to be different than any other religion at all times. Why? Because you see with Islam a spiritual code, you see with Islam a worldly code, a political code, you see with Islam every different thing that other people have. Islam has something different. Its holidays are different, its customs are different. It will be different than every other thing. And this is possibly nowhere more easy to see than when a person goes to an interfaith dialogue. If the representative of the Muslims is honest, you'll see that they will not have a whole lot to agree about with other people. There will be one thing here and one thing there, but it's not going to be a consistent pattern. Rather, Islam is different than everything that comes before it and everything that comes after it. And that's part of the reality of the meaning of the idhar of Islam, that Allah Ta'ala sent the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because Allah is la sharika lahu, there is no partner unto Him. And His deen also, it borrows from these sifat. Why? Because it's deen al-haq. And al-haq is one of the sifat of Allah Ta'ala. It's one of the divine attributes, eternal and uncreated, of Allah Most High. And the haq, the truth, one of the sifat, one of the attributes of the truth is that it's one truth as opposed to a multitude of falsehoods. And so Islam will always be different than what comes before. In fact, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he embraced this uniqueness of Islam, and he taught the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum how to embrace it and how to give it to the world. Examples, so many examples. What's an example? When the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were sitting with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were discussing how can we call the people to the prayer in the masjid, someone said you can blow a horn like the Yahud do. Some of them said you can make a bell, and you can make a bell or a percussive bell made out of wood and knock it like the Christians do in order to call the people to the prayer. And you see that what happens, Allah Ta'ala through Ilham, He gave to a vision to a number of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, not just one, not just Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhum, to a number of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that they heard the words of the adhan, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. They came and told the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then someone else would say, yes, I saw this in a dream too. Someone else will say, yes, I saw this in a dream too. And you see, we have a very unique way of calling people to the prayer. Every single aspect of Islam is like that. There's a uniqueness to it and a freshness to it. And that comes from the genius of Nabuwa, the genius of prophethood that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His Messenger, taught to His Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, to the point where everything you see that the Muslims did in their history, they gave it some sort of uniqueness, some sort of added value, some sort of benefit. You know, the Chinese, for example, they figured out magnetism. They figured you can take a needle and you can magnetize it and put it in a pool of water and it will always orient toward north. What did they use it for? Feng shui, just for basically sorcery and magic, you know, for seeing is this auspicious, is that auspicious, which is according to us, a completely batil science. What did the Muslims do? They took that technology and they made it useful. Why? They showed they're the first people, the Chinese invented the compass, the Muslims were the first ones to use it actually for navigation and going around. Why? So that they could use it in order to make it face the Qibla. One of the greatest tragedies of Islam that I see nowadays is the lack of embracing of this creativity, the idea that Islam should have a solution and should have unique things in all matters of life, in science and math and culture and politics and all sorts of things. It should be giving solutions to the world like it used to be giving solutions to the world. And it is in some ways still doing so, but people have not understood and embraced this path, that they should let the values of Islam guide them in order to make something unique and make some unique contribution to the world, لِيُذْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ, so that it can be manifest over all other ways. Rather, people have embraced the ways of the people who know neither Allah nor His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Simple things, they're very frustrating. For example, a Muslim knows how to use the bathroom. They're taught how to do that from a very young age, aren't they? Which airplane in the world can you make istinja on properly? There's not one. Why? Because it's something that we have come, even though we have Muslim airlines, some of the Muslim airlines are actually the best airlines in the world and the most competitive. We have stopped embracing our path and have started taking the paths of other people. Yes?
Actually, one interjection. Jazeera Airways actually does have onboard istinja in their lab.
Jazeera Airways has onboard istinja. Allahu Akbar, mashallah. But like, you understand, these are some frustrations we deal with. Why? Because we don't, we don't take this heritage that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us and embrace it completely. Mashallah, that's really good to know, mashallah. I hope more airlines do that. But the point is, there's so many issues that we have in our life. If we look to guidance from the Kitab and Sunnah, we would have seen unique ways of how to deal with those types of things. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, when they conquered an area, they didn't just do what the Romans did or what the Persians did. If there was nothing wrong with what they were doing, sometimes they embraced their ways and made them better. If there was something wrong, they would reject them wholeheartedly. Things like the feudal system, things like that we talked about yesterday, different types of repression and taxation, etc., etc. If it didn't conform to our values, they used to reject them. How can you do that if you don't know where you're coming from, what like basis you have to accept or reject something? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq as an ummah, inshallah, that we preserve the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum themselves came out of the desert and they impressed the world. And Allah gave them that because of their sincerity and because of their hard work. Allah Ta'ala give us a nasib of their sincerity as well, and give us opportunity to also participate in this prophetic task. Wa sallallahu ta'ala rasulihi sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam ajma'in.